The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is John Slagers with KLEM Radio. John, can you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
Well, first of all, your time is running out on the budget at the end of the month. Farm bill is still a concern. Any way that you're going to see some room for negotiation there on the farm bill and talk overall about the budget, because there's a lot of appropriations bills that need to be put together yet.
Yeah. Well, the appropriation bills are put together. Both the House Appropriations, Senate Appropriation Committee have each voted out 12 usual appropriation bills, but Schumer isn't scheduling any of them on the floor of the United States Senate. So we have to go with a continuing resolution by midnight, September 30th. The House is expected to vote on one Wednesday. Now, you'll know tonight whether that's a possibility if it gets out of the Rules Committee tonight and then Wednesday. And then it would be up to the Senate Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday to get it done. I hope it doesn't take that long. But that's a simple extension of what we're spending the last 12 months for the between now and December 20th. And it keeps the government opening. And you don't want to shut down government because it costs money to shut down the government. It costs money to open up the government. It costs the taxpayers when they can't get services from the government if they aren't working. So it's just common sense to keep government funded. You also ask about the farm bill. There doesn't have to be an extension of the 2018 farm bill until December 31st. But I think that's what's going to happen. There's a little bit of rumors around here that there could be a farm bill in the lame duck, but I have my doubts about that.
I'm looking at your schedule for this week. You've got what sound like a couple of rather cynical committee topics to deal with. On the Senate Finance Committee, it talks about chaos and control, how Trump criminalized women's health care, and then the Judiciary Committee, when the president does it, that means it's not illegal. What is your approach in these committees on these topics?
Okay. I'm going to make you more cynical than you probably are about things that go on in Washington, D.C., but these are Democrat-run committees in the United States Senate, and these hearings are nothing more than political ploy to bring attention to the presidential candidate to help or presidential election to help candidate Harris and to embarrass Republicans. That's all. That's the only purpose of these two hearings that you just mentioned. And it was the same for a couple other hearings that we had last week.
Let's talk about the Middle East. Recent events there include exploding pagers among Hezbollah terrorists. Are you concerned on our side with maybe Chinese tech used in this country against us could be weaponized?
In regard to China, they can act on their own. I don't think what's going on in the Middle East would have much to do with China, but I can speak to it this way, that Iran is behind all of this stuff going on, whether it's the Houthis in Yemen or Hamas or Hezbollah, or then there's a few cells in Syria. It's all part of Iran to stir up things in the Middle East. And they're behind it all. And that brings us down to it being Biden's fault, because when Trump left office, the economy and political position of Iran was pretty weak because of Trump's sanctions and the fact that they couldn't sell oil. When Biden comes in, he allows them to sell oil. So those sanctions go. Gave $6 billion of frozen funds to go to there. So with that $100 billion that's come into the coffers of Iran, it gives them an opportunity to fund terrorist activities on the part of Hezbollah Hamas, and Houthis in Yemen, and it's all their effort to carry out their program of when they say from Tehran, death to Israel. They even say death to America, but death to Israel. And they have these subsidiaries that they finance to do it, so Iran can claim free, clean hands, but Iran does not have clean hands. And I hope Trump can get in office and that we have these impose these sanctions on to cut down on the ability of Iran to finance terrorism around the world. They're the biggest funder of terrorism of any country.
The Ukraine and Russia fight continues. What can you realistically expect in the future of this? Is this just going to continue to grind on, or is there some way out here for either country?
Well, Trump says that he's going to try to negotiate a peace agreement. It'll have to satisfy Ukraine, or Ukraine would be silly to do it. I think that the only thing is a complete victory. It doesn't have to be a military victory. It can be a diplomatic victory, but you got to get Russia out of Ukraine. And I suppose in turn, then you get Ukraine for the little part of Russia that they've invaded, get Ukraine out of Russia.
You mentioned President Biden a few moments ago. How relevant is he on the world stage and in this country since he has stepped down or said he will step down and not seek re-election?
Not very relevant, and I think you see it in the very short daily schedules he have, the very short weekly schedules he's had, spending a great deal of time in his Delaware home and not doing news conferences or doing much that looks like he's leading the greatest country in the face of this earth.
There's been two assassination attempts now on the former President Trump. Justice Department, the FBI coming under scrutiny. What efforts are you making on that issue?
Well, if you remember when the first shot was fired in July 13th in Pennsylvania, I was the first to release what evidence we had. And I wouldn't want to claim that I released a lot of information compared to what we're hearing since then, but I continue to investigate, I continue to release, and the reason I'm doing it isn't that I've got all the answers, but I think the FBI and the Secret Service are trying to cover up, and I don't want to happen with these attempted assassinations like actually happened with the JFK assassination. We're still asking questions about that. All this stuff should be public information. There's no reason it should not be put out.
You're also concerned about something going on in China, between the China and the U.S., and that has to do with adoptions. China is notifying the U.S. that it is going to cease adoption of Chinese children to the U.S. What does that cause here in this country, and what are you concerned about, and what direction do you think that should go?
Okay. I heard all about China and the United States, but I'm not sure that I know exactly what you're pinpointing.
You're talking about the adoption of a child.
Oh, yes.
People's Republic of China.
Okay. Well, quite frankly, if China is going to adopt that policy, there's nothing we can do about it. But I want answers from our State Department, what they're doing trying to get China not to have that policy, and what they're trying to do to make sure that at least adoptions that were in process would be moving forward. And I don't believe I have any answers yet from my inquiries of the State Department.
One other question, we talked about the budget. the Senate is considering financial bills that include illegal immigrants voting to be allowed. Is there any funding toward that? And what are you considering so far as voting rights and voting rules to allow Americans to vote?
Of course, don't forget, our voting laws are different in 50 different states because the Constitution gives the state legislature primary consideration of voting laws. So it's pretty hard for me to say how it is nationally, but there was this effort to make sure in the House of Representatives that you had to be a citizen to register to vote. It's assumed you don't vote if you aren't a citizen, and that's going to have to be enforced by the states, and it ought to be enforced. I think there's some reason to believe that you shouldn't be able to register if you aren't a citizen, because why would you register to vote if you aren't going to vote? And it makes sense, but that the House had to back down on that. I would have sure supported it, but Schumer would never bring it up in the United States Senate. And if we insisted on doing that, we'd shut down government. And I gave you a reason not to shut down government, because it costs money.
On Wednesday, you're going to receive an award for citizens responsible for energy solutions, clean energy champion. Describe some of the efforts you've done so far as promoting clean energy.
Well, of course, I've been an ethanol and biodiesel person from day one, and that's why I got the award. I'm also father of the wind energy program. That's now 31 years in action, and I was getting 60% of its electricity from wind. So I consider myself kind of a pioneer in alternative energy, including biofuels. And I think biofuels is good for good-paying jobs in rural America. It's good for the price of corn and soybeans. It's good for the environment because it's cleaner burning than fossil fuels. It's good for our national security, be less dependent on foreign sources of energy, and everything about alternative energy, particularly biofuels, and is just good. It's all positive, no negative. Okay. Thank you very much, John.
Thank you, Senator. Appreciate your time.
You bet. Goodbye.
Thanks, John, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.